And how much do you check out what your competitors are doing in terms of their CR initiatives and so on?
I think the beauty of retail is that we're very competitive, be that on price,
I've noticed.
Be that on price, quality, or corporate responsibility. So, yeah, absolutely, we are looking at what they're doing, we're looking at their commitments. Some are doing some good stuff, but others are way behind us. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting sector, place, this thing.
And there's a flip side to that, which is how you then react when they, shall we say, have difficulties.
Yes.
Pole dancing kits for teens, dodgy teen products come to mind.
Bras with padding.
Yeah, many years ago I witnessed some very sharp purchasing practices, not from yourselves, of buying own label products, then refusing to take them, and then phoning back the following week to take them at a very discounted price. How do you respond to that sort of thing and look, say, well, we're fine because, or let's tighten up, or let's make the most of that in communicating how good you are in a particular area? Or how do you respond?
Good question. Generally on those sort of issues that you talked about, really truly believe that we do have a clear values set within this business, that actually we would never develop products, padded bikinis for 7-year-olds. It just would not happen here through the developers and the design teams that we have, because of their clear sort of moral set, I believe. So, on that side, I'm very comfortable with where we're at. Mm. When there's issues, sometimes they can become by association. So I wouldn't ever really want to go heavy on pushing out what we're doing, even if it's a very positive story in response to another retailer who's been harmed by something. So I just would normally just keep what we've got there and keep that we're consistent and we're in a good place. Mm. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then what's your view on how you tackle the difficult industry issues? I mean, we see there's a couple of places on the website where you acknowledge that you have difficult choices to make.
Yeah.
The one that's very close to my heart is this conflict, if you like, between positive impact on the community versus the sort of draining of the town centre, our local town centre, no Sainsbury's store in our town, I hasten to add, is dying. You are seeing the shops closing down. There was also the issue of the Scottish town in Linwood. I don't know if you're familiar with that. One of your competitors came into a town that had been run down, they were greeted as heroes development they did out that the agency who had done all the running down was hired by them. It's a really tough issue because obviously, clearly you're in competition, clearly you want to build a business.
Yeah.
So from a communication point of view, what I would be looking for is actually discussing it head on. Which I don't quite see from anyone at the moment in terms of talking about that on the retailers' websites. But how do you see that one?
It's a very hot potato, this one. And it is one that actually, in reality for us, it isn't anywhere near as bad as the perceptions are. So often, we have a very positive impact on communities in which Sainsbury's comes to. So they're often greeted with open arms by other businesses within the local region because, like the case you said in Linwood, we are providing additional footfall for it, and that's not the case on the fact that we've driven down the town. But actually, that's what other retailers and other businesses are absolutely looking for. I think that there's numbers of reports out there and others. I'd point you to Demos and their Progressive Conservatism report, which is talks about regeneration and how vital the role of Sainsbury's was in an area within Birmingham on this. And I think that there are, to me, the positives outweigh the negatives. And I think certainly the new government are looking at the planning laws, and they're looking at getting much more of that local decision being done and canvassing. And actually, we are thinking that might help us in some ways, because we often, you know, those that are most vocal are those that don't want it in their backyard, whereas in fact, often there are other businesses, yep, other people that really do want a Sainsbury's to turn up into their town as well. And so I think it's one of these ones.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please?
Shall we pause it for a minute?
The fire alarm.
Right. Let's continue.
Yeah.
On the website, you talk, obviously read your latest hot topics around the low-carbon farming and farming for the future. And you talk about having a carbon footprint calculator for the farmers, which is a great idea. Do you have plans to sort of take that further in terms of more carbon footprint calculators for other suppliers, or even putting air miles on products and labelling the sort of, with the results of this is...
Yeah, so two separate questions there, really. The first one is, yes, we do. We plan to... I think what our dairy development group, which is a lot of what you'll read on the farming for the future part of Hot Topics... The beauty of the carbon footprinting tool there was about giving farmers access to data about what was going on their farm. So it's as simple as that. You can't actually manage until you know what you can't manage until you know the actual data of it. So that was a lot to do with the dairy development group. It started off with providing laptops to farmers, so that they were able to see what was going on in
their
farm.
Good waterproof ones.
Absolutely, yeah. and then once you got that information, they were then able to manage that from there. And certainly when we benchmarked them against one another, they didn't see the specific names against it, but they saw where their farm stood on a ranking. They were then able to learn from those that were higher up, and they would know where they are, or where they positioned on it. So I think that those tools absolutely worked brilliantly. Mm. And the whole ethos behind our development group model is about efficiency. Yeah, it's about farmers being as productive, us giving farmers the tools to be able to measure and help them become as productive and efficient as possible, both financially, so they're making more money, and environmentally as well, so that they are absolutely reducing their impacts on the environment. And actually, there's another element which we could probably sort of put into social, which is around animal husbandry as well, and the way that we look at cattle now as an outcome point. So instead of actually going and looking at...
Certainly a lot of outcomes from
cattle. Exactly. So instead of actually going in there and looking at what the shed's like, and do they have X, Y, and Z, we actually go and look at the animal. So we get vets to come and look at the animal and then go from there. So if the animal doesn't have any lameness, doesn't have any mastitis, other things, then absolutely we know that this farm is very good.
As a kind of spot check and control.
As a spot check, yeah. And then those that are doing well on that side are rewarded well from it as well. So that's sort of looking at things in the round. And we are absolutely expanding that model out to other areas of our agricultural and broader commodity supply chain. So we are expanding out the carbon footprinting model to your question there. Air miles and carbon footprinting labelling don't work, basically, in our opinion, because actually they don't often stack up. So that's certainly the way with air miles. If you slap on a photo of an airplane onto your product and say that it derived from air, often they can use about the same amount of carbon, if not less, travelling that way than they are if they're grown in this country or in Holland, for example. So take Kenyan roses. Kenyan roses, whilst despite that they fly over here on an airplane, actually their embodied carbon is far less than that of roses grown in Dutch greenhouses. So, and they come here on a boat, but it's far better for the environment to buy the Kenyan roses, let alone the other developmental points that you have with that as well. So yeah, it just doesn't stack up, that sticking a photo of an airplane on your product. Carbon footprinting as well, we just don't think our customers, for the feedback we get from customers, they just don't really understand it.
No.
So you know, what am I meant to do with the 40 grams of CO2 that my Walker's crisps have got? Yeah, they just don't really understand it. So it's not a big one for us. We agree in the sentiment that absolutely driving down carbon, the carbon that's in our products, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. It's just customers get confused, and you know, as we all do, as to what you're meant to be doing with that information.
I mean, I think that's a very good point, because, and it's one of the challenges in one of the research pieces we've done. People struggle with, you know, companies are putting out lots and lots of footprint data and CO2 this and that and so on, or equivalents, and people want to know how it relates to them. And that's a big struggle, and when I compare that to, say, the picture on your website of the lorry, the extra high lorry, which you get, you know, it's a bigger lorry, less of them on the road, it's more efficient.
Yeah.
What's not to understand?
That's the point. Yeah, I think it's carbon is a tough one, we know, to communicate and to land with customers and more broadly, sort of everyone. So I think it's... what are you meant to do with the information that you read on a carbon footprint on a pack? Are you meant to then swap to go and buy something else? Yeah, it confuses us.
Yeah.
It confuses me on it. So.
Especially when you're sleepwalking.
Yeah. Yeah.
The final question is around, there's a trend and a development area we see where, one, we like the idea that people start to influence this down the supply chain for good, spread the good practices and so on. And there's a further extension of that, of actually communicating the net impact of your spheres of influence, so not just yourself, but then suppliers, customers, those people you collaborate with and so on. And so hopefully we will all become a better world. The farming of the future, for the future, is a great example of that. And was that the sort of way you came about it, or was it just common sense for the business?
It's the farming for the future example is an absolute business led initiative. In the fact that in its truest sense of the word, we know we're growing. We've got aspirations to be growing at 15%. We know that we need to secure our supply chains in order to do that. We know that farmers do have a choice of who they want to supply their goods to. And certainly as you have growth in population around the globe, and food security risks start coming down the track, we absolutely want to get dedicated groups supplying us that are as efficient as they possibly can be, and absolutely wanting to carry on supplying us, that we work closely together. And it's about that. The benefits of that is that we are able to help them address some of the bigger concerns around water and carbon and others, because we're getting closer together. But in essence, it's about securing our supply chain and making and helping farmers see that it's right to want to work with us, because we will give them a fair price for their products, and they will grow alongside us.
And at the same time, they can shop with you as well.
There we go. Exactly. Now, I think a really good example is the Dairy Development Group, which has been around since 2007. As a business, we've grown by 15% during that time, and we have increased the farmers, I believe, as part of that group from 325 to 340 or something like that. I'm not too sure precisely on the numbers. But in essence, all of those farmers have grown with us. Mm. So they have increased their production levels to be able to supply us with it. So it's great, win-win for both.
And a queue, no doubt, for me to join.
we shall hope.
Are there any issues I should have asked you about that I haven't?
I don't think so. No.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Pleasure.